Ladies and gentlemen, in the blue corner, we have the buzziest of tandems, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, a.k.a. the Killer Bees. And in the red corner, here to try to stump the Killer Bees, here's Joe Stump King George. King George! Now, let's get ready to guess who said it.
King George?
Stump King.
Has that been changed? It's no longer the Stump King now.
No, we were just George? I was just talking to you when it played, so you didn't hear it, I think.
Does it still stay Stump King?
Yeah, I'm not going to change it. I might think Joel's overdoing it a little bit here, but I'm not going to alter the imaging here. I'm not, you know.
Did it say King George?
No, Stump King George.
Oh, Stump King George.
Yeah,
I didn't realize it said, oh, okay, Stump King George. Okay. All right. Yeah, Blankers is definitely overplaying it. Killer Bees live from Cypress Trail Hideout.
Now
broadcasting until 3. Will House will be here until 7. Home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue on Hempstead near Spring Cypress. St. Patrick's Day specials on food, drinks, shots. Get on down there, hang out on St. Patty's Day, and watch your college basketball as well. All right, let's get started on everybody's favorite game. How did y'all do last week?
Not so good. I can't remember.
They got 1 right out of 5.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay.
It wasn't great, and I was extremely upset with, and I don't care how much you think I'm overdoing it. You guys can suck it because I'm going to keep doing it. The stinky stump and his little quiet spell, which is normally something he doesn't do, to not answer the question about can we go to Branham, that really got under my skin. So let's just move on.
All right, number one. I still come out in an hour looking like a lobster. As pale as I am, I use nuclear-powered sunscreen.
Okay, it's got to be somebody very pale.
Well, BK comes to mind instantaneously because of his pale complexion.
There's 3 that come to mind for me.
Okay.
BK, Paul, and Jake.
Okay.
The way that they use.
See, I don't think BK cares, and I don't know what this pertains to in terms of like tanning and things like that. So I'm not going to go
tanning. I don't think any of those 3 guys are tanning.
No, Paul might. Paul might do a. Come on, man! Are you telling me that if Paul was going to some beach vacation or something like that dude wouldn't go to a tanning booth for like a week?
I don't think he'd go to a tanning booth, Paul. I think he would be like a dude that goes to the pool and tans. Like he wears the really short swim trunks, takes off his shirt
and
tans that way. But I don't think he would tan at a tanning saloon. I could be wrong.
First of all, he's in his birthday suit in the bed with very little of any protection on the grapes. And there's no doubt in my mind that he is Speedo at the pool guy. He is hyper proud of everything that God gave him. I think this is Paul.
Can you read it again, Joe?
Yeah, that's fine. All right. I still come out in an hour looking like a lobster. As pale as I am, I use nuclear-powered sunscreen.
Why do you think this is Paul?
Because I think that nuclear-powered sunscreen would be something that he says. He lives the bill of being pale. And he would be talking about himself in being in an environment to talk about how he reacts to whether it be sunshine or otherwise. And I always tell you what my first initial thoughts are. My first initial thought was Paul or BK, and I'm going Paul.
See, I'm more Paul or Jake. How confident are you with Gallant? Because I'm kind of 60-40.
Which one would
Paul,
use nuclear?
To be honest. I mean, Paul could use nuclear in the sense of, like, being somebody who talks fast and loud and very energetic. And Jake can use nuclear in, like, kind of a cheesy way. So I could see both of them using it. How confident are you on Paul, though?
More confident by the minute.
Okay.
I'm
going to
say Paul.
I'm leaning Paul over Jake. So let's go with Paul, then.
Still come out in an hour looking like a lobster. Oh, as pale as I am.
Well, I'm just as pale. Yeah.
I wear nuclear-powered sunscreen.
Oh, yeah.
John
Who was
Belmer,
that with him? Braddock?
Patrick Crate.
Yeah,
it's Belmer,
it was
right?
Belmer, yeah. It's Patrick.
Stump.
Wait, is
Stump,
Patrick
you
there
are...
with you?
No.
Me?
Wait, have you heard him all day?
I thought you said Pat was bringing food or something like that. I don't know which Pat you meant, so I thought maybe
Pat
he was
is
there.
The commander in chief out here. No, not Patrick Crate.
I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
Man, what? I'm surprised that you went with Creighton on that.
Well, that's a complete Stump Mitchell move again.
What
I'm
do you
not
mean?
Happy.
He's on the board.
King.
He's always
He's
on the board.
Up to the billing.
All right, number 2.
I'm surprised that Pat said that, I guess. All right, number 2.
All right, number 2. How do you reject a listener for an autograph? Who the hell are you? That's Cap.
That's Cap?
What does that mean?
I mean, honestly, I don't know.
Cap is like that. It's like that lingo where, like, Cap means, like, bad or lie. Whereas, like, if you're telling something that you think is a truth or, like, a fact, like, Baylor's going to win this game, no Cap. Like, kind of like that.
Well, that's a hip term, so I rule the bench out.
I don't know. I could see Lance saying it, like, being sarcastic. Read it again for us, Joe George.
How do you reject a listener for an autograph? Who the hell are you? That's Cap.
I don't think the Wheelhouse says this.
I really don't. I really do. I think that that's the kind of terminology that is literally right in the Wheelhouse.
Jake's going to say that. Cody's going to say that. I think
the Red Weasel would be right there.
There's
because
no
again,
way.
That kind
cool
of terminology.
Cap.
Okay,
Cody.
That kind of terminology endears. You know how he likes to be endeared, like unblocking people so that he can be endeared to Twitch. He likes to endear himself to the listeners, and being hip and cool with terminology is exactly Jake's game.
No, I think this is either. I think it's either Lance, Paul, or BK. So he couldn't be any further away.
Okay, we can't. And you know exactly my opinion. So narrow it down on your three choices as to which one you feel strongest about.
I'll get rid of one, and then you can pick from the two. I'll get rid of BK. Paul or Lance?
I don't think either one.
Paul. I think it's Paul.
I definitely think it's on the Wheelhouse. If it's not Jake, then I think it's BK.
All right, we'll go with you here, and then if you miss, you lose all heat checks.
Oh, I lose everything after, and loyalty that I've shown you week after week, taking your lumps.
I don't think you should be the one taking the shots here. I mean, you had one last week. You whiffed on the first one. Why should you be taking the shots here?
Oh, how quickly you forget about how many times you whiffed on all five of them.
I had your back,
and I let you pick things. And I okay, this is the teamwork. This is the kind of teamwork.
Let's go, Paul. God, Paul Gallant.
How did you reject a listener for an autograph?
I didn't have.
Who the hell are you?
There's no chance that happened.
That's Cap, bro. Man.
So I nailed it spot on after all that minutia you just threw my way, and you decided to pull the trigger on your guy. Well done, sir. Well done.
You did
really well executed.
Number three.
Moving on. The shot.
Number three. You know, you guys are the best. Number three. You know, people identify as different things these days. I think we should let football teams identify themselves by what conference they want to play in.
That sounds like something Paul would say. Or Paul or Lance.
Give it to me one more time, please, Stump.
You know, people identify as different things these days. I think we should let football teams identify by what conference they want to play in.
I think it's
Paul, Lance, or BK.
I think it's Jake.
Back-to-back Jakes?
As if that's going to be shocking coming from the Stump. The King, the Stump King wouldn't try and do that to you. The Stump King wouldn't try and catch one over on you or think this thing that you wouldn't think he could be done.
I'm a selfless teammate. I'm not a ball hog. I play the hot hand.
Oh, my God.
I go away from
the you're red
hand.
Hot right now.
No, I'm not. I'm cold. Like, that's why I'm giving
you're Northern
you the
Kentucky
shot,
from three right now.
You didn't deserve the shot in the second one because you had been cold as of late, but you earned your stripes with that second one, even though as a team we got it wrong. So me being the selfless teammate that I am, I think that you have authority here. I think you have the authority to answer question number three.
Well, I just did. I'm going to go with the Red Weasel.
You know, people identify as different things nowadays, BK. I think we should let football teams identify by which conference they want to play in.
Really well done. Attaboy. See, that was me making a good
decision. Now we're buddies. Selfless. Now we're teammates. Now I get the attaboy and the
I
pat
can't
on
tell
the back.
You a good shot whenever that you get
tough.
One right.
Oh, God. Let's go,
goodness.
Stump.
Next right. one. Very You're, individualistic.
I've never
right
met
now.
Someone that's so angry about getting two or three right.
Yeah,
so.
Congratulations. Stop talking to me.
All right, number four.
I'm competitive.
You're getting them right. Number four. I'm still angry about last year. Jake Asman, who's not Irish, appropriating my culture to sell whiskey.
That's either BK or Cody, I think. I think that would come from the Wheelhouse.
Right? I don't. I think it'd be Paul. I think it's Paul. Because Paul's Irish, right?
Is he?
Yeah, I think it's either Paul or... It wouldn't be Creighton, right?
If Paul is Irish, he's embarrassing as an Irishman.
Wow. Okay, well...
Say it one more time, Joe.
I don't feel it's the wheelhouse.
You guys want it again?
Yeah,
please. Yes, please.
Okay. I'm still angry about last year. Jake Asman, who's not Irish, appropriating my culture to sell whiskey.
You know what? You know what makes me think it's not the wheelhouse now, listening to that back, Blinkers? Would a wheelhouse co-host say his full name?
No.
Right? Like, they wouldn't. I don't think BK would be like
I
Jake Asman.
That.
Or Cody would
I
be like Jake Asman. I think they would say Jake because they do a show with him for 4 hours a day.
If it's his culture, too, who's Irish?
I don't know if Paul's
Granato's
Irish
not.
No, he's not Irish.
I don't know what Lance is, but I think Paul, I'm pretty confident Paul is.
Yeah, Lance, I don't think he's Irish. Is Creighton Irish?
I do not know.
Man, I think it's Creighton or Paul.
That's what I've got it down to as well.
Yeah.
But I mean, my gut feeling right off the top said Paul.
Well, you've gotten two in a row right, so I mean, we have to feed the hot hand here. Let's go. You want to go, Paul? Let's go, Paul.
Sure.
All right, Paul Gerlach.
Whiskey.
What happened?
Hello.
I'm still angry about last year. Jake
Asman, you're on a roll.
Who is not Irish, appropriating my culture to sell.
Got a chance to save the weekend, boys.
Yeah,
you've already
done well.
You already
beat really good.
No, I'm a team guy. Our team has to do this.
He's had a bounce back performance after getting one wrong.
I say you as in both of you. All right, number five.
He's done good.
You know.
Well, thanks, Dad.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
All right. You know, for one. Oh, wait, 1 second. Time out. Restarting.
Wiki is at it again.
I'm just making sure you guys get the quote correct. Don't complain. You know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That was Lance Armstrong, I think, who said that. I was hoping for a big leap from the Texans this offseason.
That's a BK humor there.
That's
I think.
BK. I think it was up for Champ of the Day. I think in the car the other night, I was listening to Champ of the Day,
that's
and they said the Lance reference, the last reference, and I thought, wait, he mentioned Lance Zierlein. No, he mentioned Lance Armstrong. I feel very, very, very strongly that is my man BK.
Yeah, that was my first hunch, too. I said it because it sounds like BK humor. So we're unanimous there. Brad Kellner.
You know, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. That was Lance Armstrong, I think, who said that. I was hoping for a big leap from the Texans this offseason.
There you go. Look at us.
You know what they say about one nut falling so close to the tree? But that was just nuts not to take BK there.
I know, but I just had to, because I don't think he did it intentionally, so I had to.
All the goodwill you just built up.
Stump just went right by that one. That's fine.
I'm just ignoring you.
All of the goodwill you just built up by having a good performance.
I mean, sometimes you feel like a nut. Sometimes you don't.
Absolutely out the window with that awful, awful.
That's my worst performance.
Don't care. I'm having a great weekend now.
Well, I'm glad that your weekend is determined.
Don't call it a comeback, LL Cool J. Been here for years.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, the Killer Bees, the Wheelhouse, ESPN 97.5, broadcasting live from Cypress Trail Hideout on the St. Patrick's Day and the first Friday of the NCAA tournament.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Road Show, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cypress Trail Hideout is the setting, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue on Hempstead near Spring Cypress. Award-winning craft barbecue. It's served all day, every day, until they run out. You get some crawfish today starting at 4 o'clock as well. Drink specials, shot specials, great place to spend your Friday. Whether you're just taking part in the St. Patrick's Day festivities or you're looking for a good spot to watch some college basketball. First Friday of the tournament, St. Mary's VCU, two-point game, 16.5 to play. Baylor's cruising to a victory. They're up by 20 with less than a minute and a half to go. Joe George's Final Four team, USC, went down earlier. They lost by 10 in the first round. Xavier came from behind to beat Kennesaw State by 5. An embarrassing performance by the Musketeers, winning by 5 points against Kennesaw State. Is there a better way, do you think, Blankers, for March Madness to be done? Obviously, we love the tournament. We love the, you know, every game is, you know, everybody's fighting for their season. One and done, winner go home, back against the wall, adds to the drama, all of that. But do you think that the best team always wins when you look at the tournament?
The answer to the latter is no. The best team doesn't always win, and we've seen it from the Georgetown-Villanova upset game back in the 80s to, you know, NC State over Faislama, JAMA, and others. You know, it's the same way when I was explaining some of this to Lisa and we were talking about it the other night. I was like, well, it's just a different – it's a heavily weighted structure, but you reward later in the season rather than the whole body of work in the regular season because you get nothing for a conference championship. But if you win the postseason tournament, you get an automatic bid. So it's basically – you know, you don't reward the teams very often for being the most consistent, strongest team in a conference. You reward the hot team at the end of the year. And I think that a lot of that could be said about the tournament itself. You reward the hot team that gets hot at the right time, that might have underachieved during the regular season, but the weight of the value in college basketball is definitely in the postseason and the latter part of the season. And that's what you see in these tournament games. That's why it bothers me so much to know that U of H is dealing with some injuries right now, because I know healthy, that team can play anyone on any given night and beat anybody in the country. And it's a shame that sometimes you're at the mercy of Mother Nature and God and an injury. That sucks. But that's the way the game is played. That's how the tournament is laid out. And that's sometimes what you have to deal with. So, yeah, I don't think the best team always wins. And I think that those best teams obviously have an argument at the end of the year when they go on a run to put a record that no one can compete with, and then they just don't perform right in one game, possibly, at the end of the season.
No, I don't think there's a better way for March Madness to be done. Like, this is what makes March beautiful, is the buzzer beaters, the joy of victory, the agony of defeat. I think the agony of defeat outweighs the joy of victory, to be honest. But it's what everybody loves. Everybody loves filling out the brackets. You get so much in, you know, a short period of time. But, no, I don't think that there is a better way for it to be done. Yeah, you don't always get the best team, but I think for the most part you get some of the really good teams. Like, not too often is there a team that wins the national championship that hasn't been one of the best teams or that isn't one of the most talented teams that might get hot at the right time. I think you're right that this does value, like, conference tournaments than it does, like, regular season success. Mm-hmm. Like, even, like, in the smaller conferences, right, where it's a one-bid league no matter what. You might have one team that runs the table during the regular season, is undefeated, and then all of a sudden you lose in a conference semifinal and you don't even make it to the NCAA tournament. Like, was that fair? Probably not, but it's fun. It's entertaining. It adds a lot of drama to those singular games, whether it's the conference tournaments with those smaller leagues trying to get the one bid from that league or once you get into the NCAA tournament. I think a lot of times whenever you look for the fairest way to crown a winner or crown a champion, that quite honestly can be very boring. Like, the best example that I can look to is the Premier League. The Premier League doesn't have a playoff, right? They play their double round robin, 20 teams. You play 38 matches. You play each team twice, home and away. And they just have one, like, they play the regular season. They don't have a playoff. That's probably the better way to crown a champion from a fairness point. You're awarding the team that was the most consistent throughout the regular season, but it's also the most boring way to have a season. Sure. Could you imagine if they did that in any other sport? Like, let's just use the NFL. The NFL plays its normal 18-week NFL schedule. They play 17 games, and whoever had the best regular season after those 17 games is crowned its champion. How silly does that sound in American football? That's how they do it in the Premier League. How silly would that sound in Major League Baseball, where you just have the regular season, whoever has the most wins at the end of 162 is crowned your champion? If you did that in any sport in America, people would lose their minds. It's accepted, it's okay in the Premier League because they've been doing it for years. So I would argue that while it might not be the fairest way to crown a champion, I would say it's the most entertaining, and a lot of times the fairest way to crown a champion are the most boring ways.
Yeah, I think it's the best combination of fair and fun. And then when you think about it, as much as there are upsets, sometimes what happens in the middle of an upset is you realize a lesser conference team shows you they play a better brand of basketball. And I think back to those Butler teams, or when Shaka had VCU, or even more recently, last year with St. Pete's. When you look at it a lot of people just at the blink of an eye go, oh, what a complete, you know, upset, and luck caught a team at the right time. But when you look at St. Pete's a year ago, with every passing game, they played a better brand of basketball. They made less mistakes and made more shots. They executed when they had to execute. They were well coached and structured. And you see that because these coaches move on. These players then get more attention to them. And at the end of the day, you have more satisfaction knowing that's what makes it so entertaining to watch, because it is a fine line balance between fun and all the times that you want it to be factual in terms of the best teams getting the best results. I don't think you can change it, nor would I touch it. But I think that that's the one unfortunate thing, is sometimes injuries play a part in it, and then you feel if a certain fan base is, with obviously reason to feel that way, feel slighted because of the great regular season that they had.
Yeah, I love March Madness. I wouldn't change it for a thing. Is it the fairest way to crown a champion? Probably not. Like the NBA Finals, where you get the best of seven series, like you're going to get a truer champion in the NBA than you are college basketball. You're going to get a truer champion whenever you have that style, when you have a series that can, you know, it neutralizes it, right? The more games you play, the better team is more often going to win over a seven-game series versus a one-and-done. So, fairest way to crown a champion? Probably not, but I don't think there's a better way for March Madness to be done. Do you disagree? 713-780-ESPN.
And the other thing, too, Jeremy, is the financial part of it. Like, you're not – I mean, they're talking about $1 billion going into NCAA athletics because of this tournament. They're talking about just the cash cow that this tournament has become. Why change it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it, from the standpoint of the revenue, which is what everybody's bottom line always is. How much money are we making off this thing? This is the greatest tournament and playoff in the world in the way that they do it, and there's no need to change anything about it. Sure, you can nitpick it. Sure, you can say, could you have done it, or is it fair to the teams that had the regular seasons? But at the end of the day, the combination of the excitement and the profitability, that's why it's not going anywhere or changing anytime soon.
713-780-ESPN, the HRP listener line, 713-780-3776. Killer Bees broadcasting live from Cypress Trail Hideout. Does David Mulligetta scare you? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to a Veritex Community Bank Road Show, live from Cypress Trail Hideout. This is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cypress Trail Hideout. We'll be there till 3. Blanker's there till 3. The Wheelhouse until 7. Gorgeous Andrew Carlson is out there as well, if you ever want to see what Andrew Carlson looks like. We'll head out to Cypress Trail Hideout right now. On Hempstead near Spring Cypress. Something's going on out there. Home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue. Great food specials, drink specials, shot specials. It is St. Patrick's Day after all. Great Jameson shots, Guinness beer. You can do the whole kit and caboodle. So make sure you head on out there, Cypress Trail Hideout. It is also a Frankie's Friday Fire. You got about 30 minutes left to get in on that, to your Frankie's Friday Fire. Got some leaders in the clubhouse. 713.
Yeah, I heard you've been
ESPN.
Stacking them and racking them. Speaking of Frankie's Friday Fire, Jeremy, if you do want to try some good Italian food over the weekend, I encourage you to get to Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com and see the menu. Get out to Frankie's Italian Kitchen, conveniently located if you are on the side of town of Katy, Richmond, Sugarland, in that area. But even if you're not quite that close, it's worth the drive. It's worth the food. Best Italian food in the area. You're going to love it once you get there, because it doesn't matter what fork you use and how you're dressed. It matters that you come hungry, you want to leave full, and you want to be in an environment where you can spread out with your friends and family and enjoy all that great food. From the wings and the pizza to all the different delicacies and dishes that Chris Smith, the owner, prepares on a daily basis, all made from scratch, all the best in the business. That's why I tell everybody to go there. Check them out today. It's Frankie's Italian Kitchen TX.com.
I told my wife about those wings, and she's like, next time we're in the area, we have to go. So we'll be going to Frankie's Italian Kitchen.
Oh, yeah, and you know we all are very high on those. Every time Chris decides, oh, I'm coming to the station, I'm going to bring you some. Oh, yeah, you are. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. The best buffalo wings in the city of Houston. I stand by that. David Mulligetta is the agent of C.J. Stroud. There's a lot of talk about what Carolina is going to do at number one. The latest cock. Did you hear what Adam Schefter said yesterday on one of the ESPN shows? He was saying how he thinks that the favorite to go number one now is Bryce Young. He says that he thinks Carolina is leaning Bryce Young to be the number one overall pick. He even said that Bryce Young is Carolina's Mac Jones. That when San Francisco traded up, they eventually drafted Trey Lance when people thought they were going to go Mac Jones. Adam Schefter thinks that when they traded up, they had the idea that it was going to be Mac Jones, but then they fell in love with Trey Lance. So Schefter is saying that Carolina trading up to number one, that they really like Bryce Young, but they're not completely shutting the door on somebody else blowing them away and, you know, them pivoting off of Bryce Young. Who knows what's true? Who knows what Adam Schefter's being force-fed by Carolina? It also makes sense if Carolina is trying to give off the impression that they're taking Bryce Young with the idea that, oh, we know the Texans love Bryce Young, so let's make it seem like we're going to draft Bryce Young so the Texans have to give us a third-round pick to move up one spot in the NFL draft.
I was going to say, have you heard the majority of people that have had anything to say since Carolina trade up? Everything I heard was they're debating between C.J. Stroud and Richardson. I had heard nothing about Bryce Young, so you might be right. I think you're onto something, that they might be just setting the table to try and recoup an asset or two by making the Texans worry and panic a little bit. And we have said this is the season, if that's what you're going to do. Everybody's doing a lot of smoke screens and a lot of poker faces as they try and put out mixed messages. You might be right. That might be exactly what they're doing, because every expert that I've heard talk about what Carolina is going to do now that they – you know, went on this mission to get to number one, was picked between those two quarterbacks, and neither one of them was named Bryce Young.
I think for the next month and a week that Carolina is going to give off the impression that they're taking any of these quarterbacks at number one, with the hope that one of the teams that have like a top, well, really, it's probably only the Texans, because Arizona's not going to trade up for a quarterback. Indy might, but I don't think Carolina is going to trade down to number four and risk losing one of maybe their favorite two quarterbacks. I believe, and I'm of the mindset, that Carolina for the next little over a month, they're going to try to give off the smokescreen and impression that they're going to take literally any one of these three, four quarterbacks with the idea of trying to scare the Texans into trading up for number one. I really think that Carolina has two quarterbacks that they really love, and that they would be completely okay with the idea of moving down a spot, getting a third-round pick, and then still getting the quarterback, one of the quarterbacks that they love. I also think there's a really good chance that Carolina likes either Anthony Richardson or C.J. Stroud, and they have a feeling that the Texans want Bryce Young. So even if they get to choose between Stroud and Richardson, it doesn't matter if they're picking two, because Bryce Young would be the number one overall pick. So I think Carolina desperately wants to trade down to number two, quite honestly.
Yeah, no, I think that they're definitely interested in trying to recoup an asset or two, and that would be just smart business. And they're not in a position right now to win right away, and they're going to be patient. That's why a guy like Richardson might make some sense if they believe like an offensive-minded coach like Frank Reich and his staff could get with an Anthony Richardson and work with him to develop him, to get him ready to be the quarterback in 2 years that they want him to be, and let him know from the jump, hey, don't rush, don't worry, we're not in a big in a big rush, we just want you to become the quarterback we think you can be. And I think it makes a lot of sense for them to kind of smokescreen their way into possibly getting something for doing that. I think that if I look at teams in the top 10 that still might be considering quarterback, because I know the Colts absolutely would love to move up, but I don't know if that ship has sailed completely, but
I don't think Carolina's interested in trading down that.
That's
far,
what I was going to say. I don't think Carolina's going to consider the Colts, because then they don't get anything that they want. If there are teams that are at least going to be knocking on the door, the Texans and or the Panthers, I think it's Washington, and I think that it's the Raiders.
There's no way that Carolina does that, though.
No, I'm not saying that either team's going to agree to doing it unless it's one hell of a package and an offer you can't refuse. But I think now, as opposed to before the Carolina trade, when we were considering the Colts and other teams that were trying to move up, now I think that it's quite frankly teams that are going to want to move up that aren't going to be willing to put together the kind of package that it would take for a team to do what the Bears did, because the needs are different. And I think that if you look at Washington and Vegas, they'd love to be there. I just don't think they're going to give up the kind of asset package it would take to get there.
And to who? Like, who are they giving that asset package to?
I mean, either one. It could be the Texans. It could be Carolina.
Well, and it could be Carolina. Carolina traded from 9 to 1. Like, why would they trade down now?
No, I'm just saying. I think Texans could consider it.
Now, I
think
the Texans, to do it. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Like,
that's why I said it could be either one of the two teams. You're right. I said the offers are going to come.
I think, it could
I think
be
the offers
team.
Are going to come, but I think the Texans are going to be the only one that might seriously consider it, and that's simply if they just feel like, hey, we're not dead set sold on any one of these quarterbacks. We know we can get a whole bunch of defensive weapons and other needs that we have with our roster, and then in a year's time, if we just get a bridge quarterback, we should be in a position with assets and or our record and or both to possibly do what we need to do to get a quarterback next year.
You could still get rookie quarterback, too, even if you trade down, depending on where you fall to. And it probably wouldn't be a name that is well-received in the city. But let's entertain what Schefter said for a second, where he's hearing that Carolina likes Bryce Young at the moment more than anybody else, and that if Carolina was picking today, that Bryce Young would be that pick. All right, Texans, you have the next pick. Bryce Young's going number one. I think it's a popular opinion in the city where, okay, Bryce is off the board. I'm really happy with C.J. Stroud. But what, do you think the Houston Texans would be happy with C.J. Stroud because of the elephant in the room, David Mulligetta, because he was the representative of Deshaun Watson, because he demanded the trade of Deshaun Watson even after he signed the contract? There's also other examples around the league of David Mulligetta kind of holding teams hostage with his players in terms of contracts. Jalen Ramsey sticks out and had the whole Brinks truck and all of that. Do you think that there's anything within Nick Caserio and the Texans organization where they lower the value of C.J. Stroud because of who his agent is?
I don't think at any point any organization should eliminate a player because of his agent. Now,
not
is
eliminate.
It right? But be leery? Absolutely. Yeah, whether it lessens his value or not, I'd be leery of it because I already know that that rocky road that's played out and the way that everything has gone, gone through the ringer with David Mulligetta and just the nasty divorce with Deshaun Watson, that they have every right to be leery of David Mulligetta. And I don't know if there's any bad blood or lingering things, but you can't let business get in the way of hard feelings. And a business decision there is taking the best player available, whether he represents them or not. And a business decision on his part is making sure Scott Boras has pissed a lot of people off over the years too. But that doesn't preclude him from making the next deal with the next player with the same team. If that's the situation that presents itself, that's why I think you could be leery of it, but you can't let that business decision get in the way, be affected by the emotions.
How close would it have to be? Like, if we were looking at a player grade using the 1 to 100 scale and you wanted nothing to do with Mulligetta, C.J. Stroud had a grade of 93. Which other quarterback, like what grade of quarterback would you be willing to settle with? That way you wouldn't have to deal with Mulligetta.
I mean, man.
Would you drop down to like a 90 player grade?
I think 90. I think, yeah, I was going to say in and around the late 80s to just right around 90, you'd have to consider it, but it'd have to really be some dirty pool. Because, you remember, you go back from a baseball perspective, the Beltran negotiation with Drayton and Boras, where the Astros had a basically a verbal agreement with Boras over Beltran, and the deadline was like 11 o'clock, and at 10:59 or 58, Boras called back and said, if you don't sweeten the deal, the Mets just made us an offer, and we're going to take it. And Drayton said, no, you agreed the deal was done. And Boras said, well, but we didn't sign on it or shake on it, and we're doing this, and Beltran was gone. It would have to be that kind of really lingering long, and even still, if I know that player, in this case, if I know that Stroud is still that much better or, a good amount better than the other guy, I can't let that get in the way of bettering my football team just because there's bad blood over the previous negotiation or trade that happened.
Yeah, I'm fearful of just holding the organization hostage. And I think Caserio and Mulligetta aren't necessarily on terrible terms. Like, you point out to it all the time how Caserio did a pretty good job of handling the trade situation with Deshaun, and he had to be on the same page with Mulligetta. So I don't know if there's necessarily bad blood there. I just don't love how Mulligetta holds these organizations hostage whenever he wants whatever he wants, whether it's a contract, whether it's a trade demand. I think it would be something that's in the back of my mind being like, okay, when are they going to pull their next stunt? and that worries me a bit. But I agree with you. If a player's good, if he's better than the other guy, then that's something you're just going to have to deal with. 713-780-ESPN, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. We'll announce our Frankie's Friday Fire winner on the other side. Also, how much do you keep track of your former players? Do you root for former players of your team to go to certain teams, to avoid certain teams? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Live from Cypress Trail Hideout for a Veritex Community Bank Roadshow, this is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees Cypress Trail Hideout. A few more minutes there, and of course the Wheelhouse will be following us. They'll be there until 7. It's your place to be to watch all of the college basketball, and it's your place to be to enjoy all of the St. Patrick's Day festivities. It's great barbecue, of course, home of Papa Charlie's Barbecue right on Homestead near Spring Cypress. But take a listen to some of the St. Patrick's Day specials they have going on. $5.50 Guinness Irish beer, $5 liquid marijuana shots, $5 Irish car bombs, $3.50 green draft beers, either Yingling or Shiner Light Blonde, $4.25 Fireball shots, $5 Jameson shots, $5 green frozen margaritas, and $3.50 Wells all day long. Crawfish is about an hour away from starting, $7.99 a pound. So if you want crawfish, well, get your crawfish fix in at Cypress Trail Hideout. Also, the old traditional Irish dish, corned beef and cabbage, comes with carrot sticks and red potatoes while supplied. Last and really dive in to the St. Patrick's Day festivities at Cypress Trail Hideout. All right, Blankers, we got to name a Frankie's Friday Fire. Which way are you leaning with today's Frankie Friday Fire candidates?
I'm not leaning. You had nominees already, so I'll vote on the nominees, but you already had a couple in mind. You've been paying more attention to the Twitch than I have, but
yeah, why,
I'm interested to see what you got.
This is your bit, and I'm over here doing all the work.
Oh, God. You got to do something. You're sitting there doing a show in a hotel room in your skivvies. I think that you got to do a little something.
This is your bit. I need to get like a cut off of this. Anyways,
oh, God.
There was two that stood out to me. One of them was Largo. Largo,
which is out for me.
He said
that already. I'm already going the other way.
Largo is Larno. Anyways, he said native bees pollinate 80% of the flowering plants around the world. They are the Calvin Murphys of the insect world. It's a pretty good line.
It's also a dirty shot at my boy Murph. He's out because the only benefit there was that he might have to actually show his face to actually claim a gift card.
I thought it was all digital.
No, we've got actual gift cards again, I believe.
Oh, okay, good. And then the other one that I had was the texture that ripped Paul, the 5508 early in the show. He said, what the heck does Paul Gallant know about Houston basketball? Tell him to go back to Seattle where he clearly wants to be. How is it an embarrassment to lose any game in the NCAA tournament when upsets happen every single day?
Well, but when backed into a corner with a guy that I absolutely am going to make sure doesn't win in my mind, then I have to go with the texture.
All right. Well, there you go.
Sounds and like I know that's exactly your sentiment from the standpoint of just what was said by analyzing the two messages.
I thought both were good. I thought both were deserving.
Okay. Well, as we always do, if one has baggage and both things are equal, it's like Sauce versus Stingley. I'm going with the one that doesn't have the baggage. Therefore, I'm going with the texture.
All right. So you're going to be able to get this number? Off the text line?
Joe can, otherwise just mark it, and Joe and I will take care of it either over the weekend or...
I just texted it to Joe. I can't text it to you because you don't have an iPhone. So
that's
I texted it to Joe. So Joe's got it. Joe's got the number. Congratulations to 5508.
Absolutely.
You went Frankie's Friday Fire because of you bashing Paul Gallant's horrible take. College basketball going on now. St. Mary's up by 9 on VCU. Embarrassing St. Mary's performance. Marquette leads at the half against Vermont. How about Pittsburgh jumping out to a 16-2 run against the 6-seed Iowa State, 13-45 to go in the first.
Do
you like
game?
That Big 12 school?
I do because I like Jeff Capel.
No,
I like Q.
He likes a bunch of Big 12 schools.
He does. I'm sorry I didn't hear that because sometimes we lack a little in communication when we're all parts of the globe. But I like Capel. You know what? I think Capel has got a lot of, like, a modern-day Kelvin Sampson approach where he can tough love and he can also, you know, be your best friend, and he's experienced as a former player, and he gets the respect of his players. I just like the way he goes about his business coaching college basketball. And I think they are well coached as a team, and they've got some players. I think that's a team that I thought could win that game. They might be able to shake it up a little bit.
Yeah, I like Capel too. I think he does a pretty good job there at Pitt. First tournament for Pitt in quite some time, so maybe they can hang on, beat Iowa State. But if you're looking for a place to watch some college basketball on a St. Patrick's Day, Cypress Trail Hideout is the place to be. I was curious about this, because the reason that I asked this is not actually about Aaron Rodgers. It's actually about DeAndre Hopkins. There's rumors about where Hopkins could be going. There's been some rumors that say he wants to be a Cowboy whatever reason. But how much do you keep track of your former players, like former players that played for the team that you like? How much do you keep track of them, and are you invested on where they end up? Like J.J. Watt, let's use him for an example. I didn't mind where J.J. Watt went unless it was a team that I didn't like. Like, I wouldn't have been happy if J.J. Watt was with the Cowboys, for instance, or maybe even like a division rival. Like, it was weird when Andre Johnson was a Titan and a Colt. So yep. I am one that does keep track of former players and root for them not to go to either division rivals or team that I have disdain for.
Yeah, I keep track of them, especially like with the Astros. I keep track of Springer and Correa and look at their numbers and how they do periodically. Garrett Cole, because he went to the hated Yankees, I want to fall flat on his face and the way he left town. So I watch all of those. I keep an eye on those guys. You know, even from a Packers perspective, I watch some of the guys when they go different places. Like, it was interesting when Randall Cobb came here, because I thought, oh, my God, they overpaid him, and yet he's still in the league because his best friend is, you know, who he is. And then I root accordingly. You know, like even Brett Favre. I hated to see Brett Favre leave the Packers. But when Brett Favre went to the Jets, I was pulling for Brett Favre, but I didn't want him to go to what he wanted, which he inevitably did, go to the division and then completely get the best of Green Bay twice in a season. That was painful, and that was really tough, because there's a guy that you've put, you know, years and years behind, and then all of a sudden, in a nutshell, he's gone and he's in the division, and that hurts and stings a whole hell of a lot more.
Like Akeem, I didn't, like, if Akeem was going to leave, I didn't, it was weird to see him in a different jersey, sure, but it was Toronto. Like, that was harmless. Toronto was harmless. Like, could you imagine if he went to Utah or the Lakers? Like, that would have been, or Dallas or San Antonio. Like, Toronto was meaningless. It was harmless. But if you go to a team that you hate, or that you've hated for a while, or that you're going to see him in that jersey because he's like a divisional rival, that to me is what I don't like. Like, so if DeAndre Hopkins is a Dallas Cowboy, that's going to feel icky. That's going to feel gross.
Yeah, I can see that. Because you know what? The thing is, it's the chance to win that goes with it, right? If it, and depends on the circumstances. Favre was so beloved in the state that when he left, you know, the Jen Sturger thing hadn't happened and all the other stuff that recently popped up hadn't happened. He was so beloved that a lot of people didn't understand it, didn't want it to happen, would always love Brett Favre. Whereas Aaron Rodgers has burned so many bridges and pissed so many people off because he's done this drama thing over and over again, that I told you, Rob Domofsky said, the overall consensus of Packer fans is don't let the door hit you in the ass on the way out. So I think that if he has a chance to win, and late in the season, if the Jets are winning, a lot of Packer fans are gonna be hoping for and rooting for whoever the Jets are playing. And that's just not because they hate the Jets. It's because they hate the way Aaron Rodgers played out the majority of his career. And now he's out there boastfully saying that he said, I should go down as arguably the greatest Packer in the history of the franchise. Like, slow your roll, man.
I agreed with that. Like, he's in the conversation as the greatest Packer.
He's in the
history.
Jeremy, there's a difference between the conversation and being that guy. Favre's numbers are what they are.
I thought Rodgers said that he deserves, he's arguably the greatest Packer of all time. Isn't that what he said? He's arguably the greatest Packer of all. Do you disagree with that?
I do. I mean, he's in the discussion, but I think that until he, you know, achieves, he and Favre both have a Super Bowl. Favre's got greater numbers. Favre's numbers and his yardage and everything else are up there in the top five in the history of the game. So he's got a ways to go for me before, you know, he starts, you know, boastfully saying he is the greatest. So, yeah, he can even be in the discussion.
Rodgers has one more MVP than Favre does. Favre has him on yards. Like, he's probably never going to catch him in yards.
That's what I'm saying. The yards is what.
Yards.
Yep.
508 touchdowns for Favre, 475 for Rodgers. But Rodgers has a third of the interceptions. Favre threw 336 picks. Rodgers at 105.
Okay, so that's the gunslinger mentality.
I don't think it's wild. Sure, but the gunslinger mentality is a lot of negative plays. I don't think man, I probably go Rodgers over Favre if I'm being honest. But he said he's arguably in that conversation. I think it is an argument. I think you can have the argument Rodgers Favre, greatest Packer QB of all time.
And I think that, like I said, you looking at it from an outsider looking in, it's easy to have that opinion, and that's fine.
That's a lot.
But I think
picks.
That for the people, oh, no doubt. And look, a lot of them drove me crazy and probably drove me to Doc Linville because I lost enough hair watching him do things that I thought was just asininely stupid, including the year that they only lost one regular season game and then lost to the Giants at home with a chance to go to the Super Bowl, and I thought they were the best team in football. So, you know, then I saw him do it for the Vikings too. So, you know, the key was in the heart of Packer fans, Brett Favre was entrenched as their kind of guy, their blue collar guy, and the guy that, you know, did it his way. And then the thing that rubs Packer fans the wrong way is just the drama and the princess and the ego and the way that Rodgers did it differently than Favre did.
All right, we probably got to get out of here. Thanks to everybody who worked it. Joe George, 2/3 of it. B-Mac, 1/3 of it. Appreciate you, B-Mac. Also, the gorgeous Andrew Carlson, who's doing a lot of the blue-collar work, the on-site engineer. Great work for Andrew Carlson today out at Cypress Trail Hideout. For Blank, I'm Branham.
Get
we'll
us a win.
Talk to you next week, Houston. The Wheelhouse is next on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.